In this passage, in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee." One of the things that we need to learn to appreciate is separation. This is one of the things that God was doing for Abraham. He was separating him from influences that would cause him to be distracted in his walk with the Lord. We know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it tells us, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." This is one of the promises that God gave to Abraham, that if he would come out from his kindred, from his country, from his father's house, he would receive him. And one of the reasons that God wanted Abram away from his father's house was that in Joshua chapter 24 in verse 2, it says that Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, they served other gods." In the house of Abram, other gods were honored. Terah served other gods. Let me just say this, same as I said last week, that you can be saved and serve other gods. You can serve the gods of entertainment. You can serve the gods of pleasure. You can serve the gods of the cares of this world. Anything that you put before the Lord can be your god. And so Terah served other gods, and God wanted Abram away from that influence. Matthew tells us, the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount says that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The problems that we have today as believers, oftentimes we're trying to serve two masters. We're trying to live in the world, and yet we're trying to be spiritual as well. And it causes us to be double-minded. In James 1:8 it says that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. A person who is double-minded is unstable. He's up one day and down the next. He doesn't know whether he should go north or should go south, or east or west. And the Lord wants us to have stability. In fact, to live by faith is to be stable. And living by faith pleases God. In James chapter 4 and verse 8 it says, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The word minded really is the Greek word psuche, meaning soul. Two lives. Two ways of living. And we need to have our hearts purified. What is it that comes out of the heart? The issues of life. And if you have a double mind or double life, the issues out of your life are confusing, conflicting, and it's, you know, it produces a problem for us, and we need cleansed from that. The Lord was calling out His disciples to follow Him. And in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20, we have an instance of where the Lord was calling out those that were to serve Him, just as He was calling out Abraham to serve Him. "Then said He unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade them, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses," or to make excuse. "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There are many distractions in life that keep us from following the Lord. This is an invitation to a wedding feast, and that's not the lesson this morning, the wedding feast. The lesson this morning is, what is it that's distracting us from following the Lord or coming to where the Lord would have us to come? And there are good reasons. These are good, seemingly good reasons to be excused. But it's better, the better choice is to come or to follow the Lord. He said, things are ready. And the first fellow says, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. And I think sometimes the reasons are just as obviously very simple, no reason at all. Who has ever bought a piece of ground that didn't go see it before he bought it? Or who bought a yoke of oxen that hadn't tested them before he bought them? And of course, it's really, when you think about getting married, you know, that's a good reason to put the Lord on the back burner for a while. But I had Ben read this morning in Deuteronomy 20, and I want to just read that briefly. Deuteronomy 20, verse 2. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you and against your enemies to save you. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that planteth a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him go, or let him also go, and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brother's heart be faint as well as his heart. Applying this passage of Scripture to Abraham is in this regard. When God called Abraham into the land of Canaan, in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 6, it says, Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanite was the enemy of not only Abram, but also the nation of Israel. Canaanites is a picture or a type of our enemies. And God wanted Abraham away from those that would cause him to become faint-hearted, to become discouraged in the battle. And this passage in Deuteronomy says there are times to let people go. Let them go home. In other words, get them away from you. They will discourage you. What happened when the spies went into the land spying out the land? 10 of them said, It's just like the Lord said it was, except we can't take it. There are giants in the land. They're too big for us. And what did the 10 spies do? They discouraged their brethren. God wanted Abram away from his father, who probably could, in fact he did discourage him from being obedient right away. In fact, he waited until his father died before he went into the land. But we need to let some people go sometimes, or to get some people out of our lives, because they distract us and they do not allow us to become focused on our walk with the Lord. And it's almost some parallelism between this passage in Deuteronomy and the passage in Luke, having to do with a new house, buying a piece of ground, or getting married. And so what are people doing that have a new house? They're thinking about the house. They're thinking about furnishing the house. They're not thinking about the enemy. They're focused on something entirely different. When you plant a vineyard, you're planning on how you're going to harvest that vineyard. You're not thinking about the enemy or the battle. And so we need to get those things out of our lives that would distract us. Also being fearful and faint-hearted. They also can cause us to become fearful and faint-hearted as well, and then become a casualty in the warfare rather than a victor. When the Lord Jesus Christ called His disciples and His apostles, He said that there must be some self-denial. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." One of the things that Abraham had to do was to deny himself fellowship, family reunions, all that goes with being among the family. He said, the Lord told him, Abram, to get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. In other words, don't make it easy to go back. Don't make it easy to go back to what you were remembering about the old days. I just keep thinking about the passage in Galatians. I think it's Galatians or Philippians. Maybe it's Philippians 3. Where Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are past, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There are some things that we need to forget and look to the future. The things in the past sometimes can cause us to be defeated and discouraged and downcast. So the counsel of God to us is forgetting those things. Forget what it was like, Abram, in the Ur of the Chaldees. It's good to have memories. There's no question about that. It's good to have memories. The Lord's Supper is a memory of the Lord's death. God wants us to remember some things. I just think about Joseph's bones. Did you know that Joseph's bones was a, if you want to call it this, an icon, a symbol of remembrance? Joseph's bones were never buried in Egypt. They sat on a shelf in somebody's house. And then when it 400 years later, when he left, or when they left, what did they do? They carried Joseph's bones with him. And then they buried Joseph in the land of Canaan. But there are some things to remember and some things to forget. And so there are times when we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross and we need to follow the Lord. John tells us that, or the Lord tells us in John, that "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." The sheep are the ones who do the following. In Matthew chapter 4 and verses 21 through 22 it says, "And going on from thence he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father. I think it's interesting and significant that they left the ship as well as their father. Remember this, a Jewish father was one who was in charge. In Abraham's day, it was patriarchal authority. And Abraham's father had supreme authority over his family. Life or death, he had the supreme authority. And when Jesus called James and John, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. That's the kind of obedience that God wants in our life. He wants us to do things right now, not delay. Delay is disobedience, really. And disobedience hinders the Lord in your life. I just think about the fact that I don't know how long Abram lived in Haran. But let me say this. God did not appear to Abram while he was in Haran. He didn't appear to Abram again until he was in the land of Canaan. He appeared unto him in the Ur of the Chaldees. And then there was silent years until God, or until Abram, went into the land. And then the Lord appeared unto him in the land. And then there were many silent years after that until something else happened. Well, Abram was still hauling his nephew around. We'll get into that later on. And you know, it wasn't until Lot was separated from Abraham or Abram that God appeared unto him again. Let me say this. Disobedience and partial obedience causes a hindrance, let me put it that way, to fellowship with the Lord. So, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 9, it says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. He arose and followed him." That's how the Lord wants us to totally abandon sometimes the things that we're involved in. And the sons of Zebedee abandoned the family business and of course their father's authority. John tells us in chapter 12 and verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." We are all servants of the Lord, and so therefore we all need to be following Him. And it needs to be full obedience and not disobedience. Who is first in our life? In Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62, it says, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow thee. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here we have men saying, "Me first." He says, "I'll follow thee, but let me first." That's what hinders us often. I don't think that the Lord saying that you can't go to a funeral before you can follow me. That's not what this is talking about at all. What this is talking about is what Abraham did. Abraham waited till his father passed away. Then he followed the Lord into Canaan. And he said, he's saying to us, don't let family interfere with what I want you to do. I don't think the Lord is interested in us telling people goodbye. If the Lord is calling us to go to a different land or a different city, that's not the issue here. The emphasis is on, let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. The emphasis there is family. Family. I want my family to be an influence and, you know, to be an influence. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. This is not talking about salvation at all. This is talking about service. This is not talking about seeing the kingdom of God. The Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is talking about entrance into the kingdom of God. There's a difference between seeing and entering. If you've got a ticket, you can see the football game. If you're qualified, you can enter into the ball game. And what the Lord is saying here is this: obedience to me in putting your hand to the plow of following me and not looking back will qualify you to rule and reign with me in my coming kingdom. That's what it means to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And so, what Abraham was called to was to go and see a piece of ground called the land of Canaan. Later, a good land. Later, it was called a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what Abraham was going to see? About his inheritance. And that's what serving the Lord and following the Lord has to do with our inheritance. Inheritance is a family matter, and it has to do with what our rewards will be and what our possessions will be and what our place will be in the family. We can lose our inheritance. We cannot lose our salvation. And so, in studying the life of Abraham, we can see that there are going to be obstacles, there's enemies, there's hindrances, and we need to be warned of them so we don't make the same mistakes. We need to put the Lord first in our life. Abraham eventually did that, and he walked with the Lord, but yet we still find that he wasn't perfect, and he wasn't thrown away. And so we know that we may fail, we may make wrong choices in our life, but God's not throwing us away. And I'm looking forward to continuing our study in the life of Abraham. And I trust that it will be an encouragement to all of us. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the testimony of Abraham, a man that was known as your friend. And we know, Lord, that a friend of God is one who is informed. And yet there are frailties and weaknesses in all of us, even in Abraham. And yet, Lord, you gave him time. And you allowed him space. And Abraham grew spiritually in obedience till the time when it was time for you to test him to offer Isaac. And he made no delay. We thank you, Lord, that you will allow us to grow in our spiritual life, that we can too walk as Abraham walked in obedience to your command. We pray, Father, that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts. May we glorify the Father and the Son, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen.